The classic Arbus photographs are like magnets. You're drawn into them, and they look right back at you through the eyes of their subjects, midgets, giants, clowns, twins, nudists. Arbus had spent years as a stylist for the fashion photography studio run by her husband, Alan Arbus, but she left all that behind in the late 50s when she declared herself an artist, with a very particular focus on people others might have turned away from. She wanted to show them to the world.
They are really very telling and empathetic pictures.
Vicki Goldberg, photography critic and historian, says some other photographers of the time had consciously avoided involvement or even contact with their subjects. Arbus was the opposite. There was nothing removed or distant about it.
It isn't as if she just did this passing by like a street photographer. She did this with the complete trust and acquiescence of all of her subjects, and it was startling to people that it was so open and so telling, so compelling.
Why are the pictures so arresting?
Well, first of all, the compositions are extremely classical. She centers her subject, and it's almost the classical studio portraiture, even if she's outdoors.
But the subjects are not classical at all.
And she has made them as important as the celebrity is, as the president is, whatever it is. She has photographed them with such an intensity that it radiates out of the pictures. And the fact that she could do this kind of rebellious photography within this classical framework, that had not been done.
The current exhibition shows some never-before-seen photos from her early years, just as she was stepping out to become her creative self. Seeing the show recently, pondering Arbus's shift from fashion work over to the other side in the 1950s and 60s, I couldn't help thinking about the film Blow Up, released in 1966.
Good, that's great. Yes, that's great. That's good. Yes, go on, not again.
It was the first English-language film of the star Italian director Michelangelo Antonioni.
Okay, Rachel.
The story of a fashion photographer played by the English actor David Hemming.
Come on, work.
His character, Thomas, does well running fashion shoots with glamorous, available young models, any one of whom he might or might not take to bed. And he dabbles in some more serious work.
I'm going off London this week.
But he's restless and almost mechanical.
Doesn't do anything for me.
Until his camera captures a complicated real-life scene being played out by a couple in the park, possibly even a murder somewhere behind the trees.
Give me those pictures. You can't photograph people like that.
Suddenly, the photographer is deeply engaged in discovering anything he can about the mysterious, dangerous images he's stumbled on. Blow Up has long, virtually silent sequences with our hero searching for the images in the shots in question, blowing up details, looking, blowing them up larger, looking again. Reviewing the film when it opened in 66, the then New York Times film critic Bosley Crowther said the film had something real to say about the matter of personal involvement and emotional commitment in a jazzed-up, media-hooked-in world so cluttered with synthetic stimulations that natural feelings are overwhelmed. And, oddly, he was right. Well, you could say this was a film about photographs and what they really are, and whether they really tell the truth and so on. The question of personal and emotional involvement in the work seems certainly as much the point, if not more. Obsession is the key. And that was the thing with Arbus, too, to let the obsession rule. The Arbus story, real rather than fictional, of course, is widely known, from a cloistered childhood of wealth and privilege to her suicide at age 48. But the work tells the real story. Even the feature film Fur, released 10 years ago and based very loosely on Patricia Bosworth's biography of Arbus, avoids actual biography by trying to untangle the impulses and emotions behind the photographer's fascination for what she called freaks.
I'd like to take a portrait of you and your wife.
That's Nicole Kidman as Deanne. The film is billed as an imaginary portrait.
I don't have a wife.
Well, then I would like to take a portrait of you, just you.
But you can also hear Arbus's own voice, speaking with her characteristic directness in an interview with Studs Terkel on WFMT, the exact date unknown, to the question of art and commerce.
I can't believe that money is any sort of proper reward for art. I mean, art seems to me like just something you do because, you know, because it makes you feel good to do it, or because, you know, it seems to excite you, or you learn something by it. Of course, I don't even feel that it's terribly useful, but I think I maybe do it because I think there are things that nobody would see unless I photographed them.
Arbus's attraction for the underside, the darker side of humanity, takes us back once again to the post-World War II moment, when America experienced a sharp division of sensibilities. There were picket fences, suburban lawns, TV sitcoms, but there was also a whole movement of creative types in the other direction, towards cities, most notably New York, where they could experiment with art, jazz, fashion, comedy, theater, politics. Deanne Arbus even made her way in 1960 to W. Eugene Smith's Jazz Loft at 821 6th Avenue, a dark and urban spot. There's a David Heath photograph documenting her visit one day, and that's only the visit we know about. And Arbus went so far as to use military imagery to describe her journey toward the fringe characters that obsessed her. She said, "I'm creeping forward on my belly, like they do in war movies."
Well, yes, because she's getting closer and closer, and she's getting to a point where something perhaps explosive is happening. And she really pulls that off.
Deanne Arbus created something no selfie can provide, a document of a complex relationship between artist and subject, resulting in something deeply personal and also curiously universal. Essential viewing. For Fishko Files, I'm Sarah Fishko.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.